right now as we continue our conversation about the Cavs. Obviously, everybody remains on LeBron watch. And, of course, Donovan Mitchell's extension being signed today. Let's go out to the Wise Heart Right. We Make It Right call, Kyle Wright Hotline. For a little additional help on this, we bring in our good friend over at Fear the Sword, Jackson Flickinger, with us now. Jackson, what's going on?
Nothing much. How's it going?
We're doing pretty good. Obviously, a very busy time covering the Cavs in the NBA right now. A lot happening. But the big thing from today, Donovan Mitchell inks his extension on the first day possible. I mean, was it a move that caught you by surprise in the initial moments?
It did catch me by surprise when I first saw it, but the more I think about it, the more sense I think it makes, especially for Donovan Mitchell. He just saw the Jaylen Brown thing happen. There were the reports about, you know, Boston being a little hesitant to offer as much as possible to Giannis, which seems insane to me. Under the CBA, there are teams and there is a thought process that let's try to pinch pennies whenever we can. And if you're Donovan Mitchell and you're in that environment and you know that you're going to be on the wrong side 30 soon, getting a four-year extension when you can makes a lot of sense. From the Cavs perspective, I think you can be a little more critical of it. I think it's good business by the Cavs just because this is the cost of a top 15, top 10-ish NBA player. If you can get him to sign long-term, that stability, you know, you are sure that he's going to be on your team through the end of the Utah Jazz picks being sent out. And if I would have told you back in 2022 that Mitchell would be on the team, it will be signed on the team through that, you would have signed up for that in a second. So I think it's good business on both sides, but better business for Mitchell.
In a Cavs perspective, when we get to, you know, basically right around age 34 for Donovan, he's playing out in theory that last little bit of his contract. The last year was about $75 million. Is there almost any way that that contract probably feels good at that point for the Donovan Mitchell you would be getting, and especially at the price point?
I think there's reasons to be hesitant about, you know, saying that, yes, we love paying, you know, somebody 70 plus million when they're 34 in 2031. You know, how does the league look? We have like, it's hard for me to say that, especially for somebody of Mitchell's archetype, who is an undersized guy who relies on athleticism. If he starts losing a little bit of athleticism, he might not be the same player he is now. But again, that's sort of the cost of doing business. He's a really good player, and I just don't think it's worth it for the Cavs when they are trying to lure LeBron James. They're trying to put all their eggs in the basket of next season and the following season. I don't think it makes sense to try to play hardball with Mitchell and his agent about a season that's 4 or 5 years down the line.
I mean, you bring up the LeBron aspect of it, and with this contract, do you think that this is a move that has any sort of impact or sway to how LeBron would look at the situation in Cleveland? Obviously, hard to get into the mind of LeBron, but just in general, does this make them more attractive for a guy who's like 42 years old?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, just because this contract's going to kick in during, you know, not this coming up year, but the next year. I would expect, if LeBron were to sign in Cleveland, I would expect at least 2 years. But the majority of the back end of this contract is going to be when he is not on the team, if he were to sign. So I don't know if it really does much for him. I think that an organization that has stability, that's bought into the who is going to be the face of the team in 3-4 years, I think that is, it's just good NBA business. But I don't think, you know, LeBron's looking out and seeing that they signed Mitchell to this extension and saying, now I'm ready to sign with the Cavs.
We haven't talked about much of the LeBron aspect of this because we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, but I mean, your gauge on it, the way you feel, do you feel like it's most likely at this point LeBron's coming back to Cleveland?
If I had to guess, I'd say 75% LeBron's coming back, just because, you know, nobody has any reporting, it seems like, on this, so it's not like I have any insight that nobody else does. Just reading the tea leaves, you know, LeBron's spending a lot of time here. LeBron's not talking to any teams individually. You know, I don't think there's a team that is a clear-cut, makes better basketball sense than the Cavs, and I don't think there's a more convenient team for him to go to from a narrative perspective. I don't think there's a more convenient team for his, you know, for him to go to with Bronny. I don't think there's a more convenient team for, you know, who knows what the situation would be with his family, whether or not they would, you know, move or anything to his next destination. But Cleveland is just so convenient from a lot of different perspectives and the familiarity he has with the team. So I just really have a hard time seeing him picking, you know, like Philadelphia, really even a team like Miami, even though I guess I see that a little better. The team that I thought made a little more sense to him was Golden State, just because I think there would be real appeal to playing with somebody who is your peer in Steph Curry and Draymond Green, but that's just not a good team, and that's not a – I don't think that's a championship-level team. And it doesn't seem like that's the direction this is trending. So just kind of walking through that process of elimination, I just think the Cavs are the most logical team, the best team standing. But again, I think differently than LeBron, so that's why it's 75% and 100%.
And again, Jackson Flickinger with us here on the hotline. I mean, obviously, we now see this starting to, I don't even want to call it drag out yet. It's obviously a decision that's taken a bit of time as we expect it to. But the point LeBron's at in his career, how long does he have the NBA world's attention for him to make his decision before people kind of, you know, get to the point of, all right, it's about time. Let's go ahead and make a decision.
I mean, I think people who are, you know, aggregating reports all day, you know, they thought it was time about like July 2nd. But I'm not, you know, I can't speak for the, like, you know, the average person, but I can say that LeBron doesn't care about, you know, some of our thought processes on this. So he's going to make a decision when he's good and ready. And I don't think there's anything that he's necessarily waiting for. Like, I know some people, you know, are speculating like, well, maybe he's trying to put pressure on the Cavs to make a big move or something like that. And it's like, well, I don't think there's not like a big move out there that he's waiting for a team to make. I don't think, like, I think he, you know, I think this is just who LeBron is. LeBron goes at his own time. You know, we saw this in 2010. We saw this in 2014, where it dragged into the later part of the second, you know, week of July, and seems like that's where we're heading again. You know, he could surprise us and announce it, you know, right now. But you know, this is just who LeBron is, and it's anyone's guess as to when this is all going to end. And you know, it is what it is.
Jackson, let's play with the idea that LeBron comes back home. How good of a team does that make them standing inside the current Eastern Conference with just the addition of LeBron alone?
I think they would be the top of the East if LeBron came back. I really, really like – one of the things that I've really struggled with is the Cavs are a team of specialists, but they don't have any all-around players. Like, you look at their core four, like the whole core four era – you know, Darius Garland, I felt, was kind of like the specialist playmaking point guard who had deficiencies on defense. Kind of can say the same thing about Harden. You know, Mitchell, elite scorer, has deficiencies on defense, is undersized, so not really a complete player. You kind of look at Evan Mobley, you hoped he would become a complete player. That's still a work in progress. And then Jared Allen is very much a traditional center, not a huge all-around game, but very good at what he does, and you kind of can do the same thing with the bench with, like, Max Strus and Sam Merrill. So I think this team has long needed just this connector that can do everything well. I just mentioned Max Strus as a specialist, but really his well-rounded skill set, that's why he's always fit really well with that core four, is because he can kind of do a little bit of everything, not at A-plus level, not even at, like, a B-level, but kind of at, like, a C-plus level. So I think that having LeBron just kind of would make everything work. Like, I think he would be that bridge that has separated this undersized backcourt and this oversized frontcourt. So And it would give you a lot of flexibility in how you could play. You could play big, you know, with him playing alongside Allen and Mobley. You could even, you know, if you wanted to sub out one of the guards, have LeBron be the de facto point guard and go really big with, you know, a bigger lineup if they were able to get another small forward. You also could go really small with LeBron at the four. I wouldn't go with LeBron at the five, but you could go with LeBron at the four, have a lot of shooting, have a lot of spacing. So I think that this core really sets up perfectly for LeBron. It's always felt like, in a way, that the Cavs were building a LeBron team without ever the assurance of LeBron coming back, or that LeBron would be good at 42 years old or soon to be 42 years old. So I think they would be a great team. I think they would be the class of the East. I think they would kind of make more sense to me than a team in Philadelphia. I think they'd be better than New York. So I would really like them, but, you know, we would have to see it on the court before I'd want to get too far ahead of myself.
Jackson, I've seen so many people bring up, and obviously everyone's got opinions on this, but just, you know, not only, you know, Cavs aren't a championship team, but people talk about the fit, and it doesn't make sense with Harden, or it doesn't make sense with, you know, Jared Allen, and the spacing's not good enough. I'd imagine your answer would be, you know, somewhere in the opposite based on what you just told us, but is there any level of concern with the way that LeBron would fit into this team, or is that just kind of all talk to you?
I mean, I think there is always going to be concern, especially like if we're talking about November, December, and January basketball. Like, I think that there would be some rough stretches with, like, how does Harden fit in this context? How does Donovan Mitchell fit in this context? If you remember back to really any of LeBron's previous stops, it was always pretty bumpy in November, December, January, where they're trying to figure out, okay, you know, like, think about with Kyrie. Like, Kyrie, are you the point guard? Are you setting up the offense? Or are you more of a off-ball mover, a off-ball scorer? Is that going to be your role? Like, trying to figure out where does Kevin Love fit? So I think there would be some issues there that they could iron out, but I think that they would iron it out, because if you, presumably, I think you have a team that's really hungry to win with Dylan Harden, you know, two players who are becoming defined by not being able to live up to postseason expectations. And Harden, for example, has had a lot of experience playing on super teams, really good teams. And I think that, you know, his fit in Brooklyn with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I thought was a lot better than people give him credit for. That kind of ended badly because of, one, Kevin Durant's foot is a little too big, and because of injuries to Harden. And then they never really got a chance to see what they could do the next year with all of the issues that happened with Kyrie, et cetera. So I think that when you combine the type of basketball IQ, because I think Harden and LeBron would be the biggest areas of concern, when you combine the basketball IQ of Harden and LeBron, I think that they would find a way to make it work out. I'm not super concerned with the spacing. Think back to that Lakers championship team with that oversized front court with Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and Anthony Davis. Like, that really gave teams problems. So I really just don't buy the narrative that, like, the Cavs aren't a good team and that the Cavs aren't a team that LeBron wouldn't fit perfectly into.
And again, Jackson Flickinger with us here on the hotline. Hey, what about this team defensively? Because I think that's the one area where concerns can be brought up. Obviously, LeBron at this point in his career is not the defender he once was. And we just watched out some of the defensive woes of James Harden and Donovan Mitchell. Is that three guys in a lineup defensively that can make it work?
I would say if you didn't have Allen and Mobley behind them, I'd say no. But I think this is why you have Allen and Mobley. I think you would have to change how you play defense, and you would obviously change how you play offense too. I think you would become a lot more slower paced team. But I think that you could make it work. There's not really an easy answer to, like, this is who you put on the other team's best perimeter player, because I don't think you want LeBron, Mitchell, or Harden on the other team's best perimeter player at this point in their careers. But I do think that there could be ways to scheme around this. You look at a team like the Knicks, who really, really allowed teams to shoot open shots, but would do everything possible to make sure that they can't score in the paint. And I think that there are schemes that you could deploy that would yield similar results. Like, this isn't a team that needs to be a top five defense. you need to be an above average defense, but you don't need to be a top five defense with the kind of firepower they would have offensively. And I think this is where you would trust Mobley and Allen, put them in the best positions to succeed, try to make the other team an outside shooter team and hope that your offense carries the day. And I think that would be a winning strategy. Again, defense is not going to be their strong point, but I think it can be passable.
Obviously, with all of this, we had the report for the Golden State. It was going to be LeBron and AD in a package deal. There's, you know, speculation out there now about Draymond. Maybe Draymond could follow LeBron where he goes. Would there be any interest in any sort of the, you know, a LeBron tag-along players of that caliber coming along? Or is this more of a LeBron comes into the roster as set? And I mean, a lack of control compared to what he's seen in other parts of his career.
I think that you can find ways to make it work if it's somebody like Anthony Davis or Draymond Green. I know that, you know, Cavs fans don't really like Draymond Green, and understandably so. But Draymond Green is good at basketball if you put him in the proper role. I think that having an extra defender would be helpful. And if it's the cost of doing business with LeBron and he's taking a minimum contract or at least a very far below market value contract, I have a hard time really quibbling with that. I mean, like, if you were, you know, if it cost you somebody like Evan Mobley or something outrageous like that, then yes, that would be a major problem. But if it's like matching salaries or something like that, like, it's not, I don't think it's anything to be too concerned about. I would just, you know, to get the deal done, I'd be willing to do that. It's hard to tell if that's what LeBron wants or if that's what LeBron's waiting for. Only we know what's really happening behind this. Like, only LeBron knows, and maybe the Cavs know what's happening behind the scenes. But I would be okay with it, you know, as long as it didn't cost the Cavs like far too much.
Jackson, as always, appreciate you setting aside the time. You gave us a lot to think about, and as this entire thing continues on, hopefully we'll be talking sometime here in the near future.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Jackson Flickinger, Fear the Sword. Good stuff out of him. Make sure you check him out over there. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we will react to what Jackson had to say and people bringing up about LeBron's fit in Cleveland. Concerns over that. Is there any legitimacy to it? Again, we'll get to it coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.